getting in touch with the unknown. So a question has been asked, is the reason we're holding on to what we call reality, rather than dropping into the unnameable, the unknown, the unformed, is it because we don't realize it's there? It is there. It's always there. And now I'm going to tell a little story that may seem like it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I'll get to it at the end. When I first started snow skiing, I went to Norway. The way they skied there then was you were given skis that were made out of one piece of wood, no metal edges, no safety bindings, and you put skins on the skis and walked uphill for hours. Then you took the skins off and you skied down. But here's the point. The instructor would say over and over and over to turn to the left, put your right shoulder forwards. To turn to the right, put your left shoulder forwards. Over and over and over. So that's what we did. The next year, I went to Austria. And they said exactly the opposite. But burnt into my brain was putting the right shoulder forwards to turn left. Burnt into the brain. Before I could put in the new instructions, I had to take out the old ones. From the moment of your birth, you are told how things are and how they're supposed to be, over and over and over. So you don't look for anything else. Religion tells you exactly how it is, and that's the way it is. And if you dare to argue with that, not so long ago, you got burnt at the stake after being tortured. It's burnt in there. You're born with it. This is the way it is. And for the few people that have an awakening experience, they know this is not the way it is. It's practically diametrically opposite. And how is it? Nobody knows how to explain it. All they can say is what Buddha did for an hour and a half when he was asked, what is it? He spent an hour and a half saying what it isn't. It isn't this, it isn't that, it isn't up, it isn't down, it isn't in, it isn't out. It's not a man, it's not a woman. It's not possible, it's not impossible. Because it doesn't have an opposite. And we don't realize that our whole concept of everything is based on opposites. What's good? It's not bad. What's bad? It's not good. Everything is based on its opposite. And this other space has no opposite. We could say it includes both, but that isn't correct either. It's a totally different, and there's no name for it. The Tao, the Way, the Kingdom of God, the Hidden Harmony, none of that says anything. Because when we understand what it is, Hidden Harmony, oh, it's the unhidden chaos. That's the opposite. And there's no opposite. So what is this state? Well, everybody that experiences it gives a different description. And of course, as soon as it's described, it contaminates it because the words just aren't big enough, because the brain isn't big enough. And again, we haven't been led to look at the fact that the brain is limited. The brain is limited. There's another sense. So it doesn't have an opposite. But here's the main thing. It doesn't have an observer. Now, at one stage, there is still an observer. But in the unformed, no observer. And yet, and then this yet can't be explained, that there is some sort of awareness, but it's not separate. So again, in the East, they say, when the seer and the seen are one, and then our mind says, oh, it means, no, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean anything. So the unformed, that's my way of attempting to describe it. As I say, everybody has their different way. So this is what I mean by the unformed. It has no form. It is an isness. And then we could say it's an energy, but as soon as you say it's an energy, you've created the opposite again. No, it's not an energy. It's not anything we can describe, not anything we can think of. It is, and everything is included in that isness. Buddha said, out of the whole came the whole, and the whole remained. So let's call the whole for a moment the unformed. And we'll give it a name. We'll say it's an energy, a frequency, a vibration. It isn't, but we'll say it is. Out of that comes what in the East they call the illusion of life. Maya, the game, the illusion, out of it comes. It's still real in its own way. So our mind has a reality, our thoughts have a reality, and there's something else. So the question was, if you're not in touch with that, how do you get in touch? Well, what they say in the East is you sit 18 hours a day for several lives, 80,000, I think. But something else is happening. On the planet, right now, something else is happening. And it's as though a certain frequency has been stepped up. And we can plug into that more easily than we ever have. And why don't we? It's because we get to this space where it feels as though everything you know, everything that seems real, starts to fade, shimmer, and starts to disappear. It doesn't feel real anymore. And then there's the sense of dying. And what it is dying to the illusion. But the system doesn't know that. The system is designed to take care of you. You're dying. Come back. And if you don't, you start to drift into something else. But then again comes an emergency. I am dying. And it's true, the I that you've been holding on to no longer becomes relevant. There's this something else that includes you, but not as a separation, as a blending, as a melting. And we could say disappearing, but none of these words actually say it. It's just something else. And then magnificent, incredible, they don't match either, because it's in a way, as the threshold is passed, it becomes very ordinary. In Zen, they say, when somebody wakes up, they smile and have a cup of tea. So, ordinary. Not blissful, because blissful has its opposite. Not wonderful, because it has its opposite. No. And then you can't describe it. It's just justness, beingness, isness, the peace that passeth all understanding. The last bit, passeth all understanding. So it's not peace as we know it. It's peace that doesn't have an opposite. And in that state, there's a realization that everything is perfect. And it can't not be perfect. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be in that very moment. Which doesn't mean to say it has to stay, even for a nanosecond. But the moment, perfect. 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 But we have been programmed to achieve. And what we're trying to achieve is a tiny, tiny, tiny little idea of what we've been told this other side is about. So we're not even trying to achieve something that has any outcome. Not appropriate. And that's the way we've been programmed. Oh, so there's something else? So I have to do something for the something else. And it's just the opposite. Don't do anything. We used to have a saying where I came from, don't just sit there, do something. Just the opposite. Don't do something. Just sit there. But that doesn't mean just sit there. Listen, sitting there doesn't mean just sitting there. If there's something that comes, there's a motivation to do, you're out of the way. You let the doing happen. Action through non-action, I think, Zen says. You allow. So how come so few people live that? Because you've got to be here to start with. And you check in your life, how often are you here now, just for now, without looking at the past, without thinking what the future could be, should be, just here. Now, And my experience is, out of being here, the next thing unfolds. This is a change of frequency. If you just sit there and do nothing, what you'll start doing is being there for other people. And then we're talking about something totally different. This dimension is about something. And part of it is about unity, coming back to the oneness. That was the title of the first book, The Experiment is Over. What's the experiment? Duality. Pushing everything apart, good and bad and right and wrong, pushing it as far as it'll go, good and evil. And now it wants to come back again. We all want to come back again. Somewhere we all want to come back again. So that's interpreted of, oh yes, the family. Yeah, but the family isn't just the mother and father and the children and the grand. No, it's everybody and everything. Not just the people. Not just the animals. The insects. The trees. Everything. And sometime, just sit and look. Preferably at something alive, like a tree or a bush. And preferably in the open. And just look. Just look. You'll hear the mind chattering away. But instead of listening to the mind, look. Look out. And you might find the air is not actually empty. The air has a shimmer to it. And then look through the air to the tree. And you find the tree shimmering as well. Shimmering. And that shimmering is blending with all the other shimmerings. There is a hidden harmony. This shimmer is universal. It's the whole. You might find yourself a little dizzy. The trees may even start to become transparent and disappear, as though they're dropping back into the unformed. But it's you that's dropping back into the unformed. Because without you, that tree isn't there. Without you, it's not green or brown. Without you, it doesn't have movement. Letting things be. And then you might feel as though you are going to die. And even more scary, you start losing the sense of who it is that's dying. Just stay there with it. Feel your whole essence vibrating with it. Blending with it, disappearing into it. And then when you need to come back to something practical, come back slowly, very slowly, and realize that that wasn't an illusion, that was closer to reality than the chair you're sitting on. And the chair has its reality. Slowly come back. And then, as you do whatever you're going to do, stay in touch. Don't contract. Don't disappear. Or if you do, because something unpleasant happens, be aware of the contraction. Oh, contraction. You feel more solid. Actually, you feel more safe. Take a deep breath and let it go again. If you do that often enough, you'll find you never get angry. You never get judgmental. All fear disappears. And you realize everything is this undescribable state, which we could reduce, contaminate slightly, to the word love. Because the true word of love is no lover and no loved. No seen and no seer. Just, justness.